the best way to know God's plan and God's design for us is to know the Scripture. Now, isn't that a profound statement? You'll have to hear it again. The best way for us to know God's plan, God's design for us, is to know the Bible, to know the Scripture. So I just wanted you to understand that was one of the profound thoughts that entered my mind today. You have to understand that when we study, we're finding God's plan, God's design for each one of us. And it's magnificent indeed. Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Psalm 37:30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Psalm 37:30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Psalm 37:30. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Ephesians 4:29. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today, realizing, as always, the importance of being properly related to the Lord in the study of His Word. We find ourselves again today in the book of Ephesians. Most of you are familiar with these verses, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10, and 11. These are magnificent verses indeed. You and I have the wonderful privilege of seeing how great they are. We have been given by God these wonderful truths that would enable us to appreciate the fact that salvation is a completed transaction. In the eternal ages past, the plan was made. Deity 2, the Son of God, came to this earth as the God-man, God in the flesh, went to the cross and paid for the sins of all mankind, including your sins, my sins, past, present, and future. And so we are the recipients of a completed transaction. And we found that in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved. We pray together before we begin our study now. Father, we are thankful today again for the fact that we are members of your family. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have absolutely nothing about which to boast as we look at ourselves, think in terms of our lives and what we are and what we've done and what we're doing and what we will do, realizing that all the things we do in the energies of mankind would never measure up or never fulfill that wonderful design that has been prepared and provided for us. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study, and we thank you again for your matchless love. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're looking with me at Ephesians 2, let's look first at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that magnificent gift of God is not out from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Then verse 9, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then verse 11, which we will study on Wednesday night, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. All of us are aware of the fact that when we looked at the 8th verse of Ephesians chapter 2, we gave a lot of attention to the fact that salvation comes as a result of God's magnificent gift. For by grace you have been saved. I'm sure that you remember that we analyzed that verb over and over again. And we looked at a perfect tense verb which emphasizes something that has been accomplished in the past, totally completed in the past, with the results of that completion continuing to this very present moment. That's what salvation is all about. In other words, our salvation is a completed transaction. It is that which God designed and planned and fulfilled in a magnificent way. That's the reason why when we come to Ephesians 2:9, which is our verse now, it says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And what we're going to do today is to take our time and look at how fantastic verse 9 is. You remember that we emphasize strong negative adverbs. I'm not going to repeat all that information because I know that all of you know it very well. I give you credit for having received and heard it completely and comprehended the information given. I will repeat to tell you that the negative adverbs are given throughout the New Testament, and the one that we have here is a strong negative adverb. You can see that it is translated not. It is the Greek word O-U-K. We emphasize that when you look at negative adverbs, you not only have to look at the word itself, because there are at least three major negative adverbs, and then there is a fourth negative adverb, which is used normally with the verbs in the subjunctive mood. But what I'm looking at with you today is the fact that this one here in Ephesians 2:9 is a very strong negative adverb. We emphasize when we check these negative adverbs out that you will look at the word that follows it. And oftentimes you'll be able to determine by seeing whether the word that follows it either begins with a vowel or a consonant. It lets you know the strength of that particular negative adverb. If you'll look carefully, you will see here that the letter that succeeds is the letter epsilon, which is E, and it is the vowel that follows the negative adverb ook. Now, I'm sure that all of you wanted to have that information, so I decided that I would share that with you. I want you to see that here the verse is saying that our salvation is a gift from God. We are the recipients of that gift. It was a completed transaction. Nothing could be added to it, nothing to be subtracted from it. It is a completed transaction. That's the reason why it is in the perfect tense. Now we come to Ephesians 2:9, and it tells us that that salvation is not out of works. And we have the word ergon, E-R-G-O-N. We have following that the fact that if it could be by works, then there would be something about which you and I could boast. And so that's the reason why you have this long Greek word, K-A-U-C-H-E-S-E-T-A-I, and it is the word for boasting. We're going to pause for a moment and let you see that when you look at verbs, you will discover that when you have a subjunctive mood, which is this one here, you will find that oftentimes the subjunctive mood will emphasize something that is from a strong standpoint, or it will transfer and lead us to see that it emphasizes something from a negative standpoint. So it can either be emphasizing something in strength or something in weakness. And this one, of course, is a middle voice which emphasizes that if we choose to boast or brag, then we are manifesting the weak side, and we're manifesting an emphasis upon the works of the flesh, the ability of human good or human activity. And so this is a verse that says that salvation is not out of works. Because if it were, we would have room for boasting. And that's the reason why that this is a subjunctive mood. What we have here, and I want to explain to you that this particular verse, verse 9, should be presented to us from an exegetical standpoint. And so that's what I'm trying to do now as I present these words. Very few words in this verse, but let me reiterate again that this verse says, the preceding verse, salvation is by God's grace. Then this verse says that salvation is not out from the source of works. If it were, we would have room for boasting. And we need to exegete again the verse. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. What I've already said, and I repeat at this point, and that is that we have the Greek word, which you have seen and I've emphasized here, which is O-U-K. I'm not particularly interested in having you understand all the facets of the Greek, but it's important for me to be able to share with you the background of these particular words. Because if I do that, then you will have a better understanding of what the Scripture is actually saying. The Scripture is saying here that salvation is a completed transaction. God has magnificently and marvelously saved you and me, because we've trusted and He has done what He said He would do. He said He would say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. He said He would do that. We have done that. And He's done exactly what He said He would do. And that perfect tense verb emphasizes the fact that it was a completed transaction and nothing could change it. And so we accepted His gift and He accepted our acceptance of His gift. And we're born into His kingdom. And because of that, we have absolutely nothing about which to boast. So that's the reason why you come to this particular verse, verse 9, and you see it begins with that strong negative adverb. I put it on the screen for you to see. Not of works, lest anyone should. And I put the word boast in small letters because I want you to see that there is no room for you and me boasting in relationship to what God has done for us in salvation. The word not is O-U-K. O-U-K with the word following it, beginning with a vowel, is a strong negative adverb. If you remember, I have said that in the last few minutes. And I'm repeating it now because I want you to see how unique this verse is. Not of works. Salvation, the gift of God, is not of works, lest any one of us should boast. A strong negative adverb. And notice again, and I repeat these words, not of works. And the question that I have for you then is, what do we mean by works? And I have to tell you that there are many categories of works. And we're going to analyze some of these just briefly here this morning. For instance, one of the types of works would be what we could classify as verbal works. When I say verbal, I mean the use of words. Words used in many different ways. Verbal works oftentimes fit into this category of the energy of the flesh works. For instance, The word works oftentimes fits into the category of individuals making promises to God. I don't want to embarrass you today, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you've ever said to God, if you'll forgive me of this sin, I will never do it again. In other words, if that has ever come from your lips, or if that has ever come into your mind, you'll have to understand that that would be classified as verbal works. In other words, promising God or pleading with God with verbal thoughts or verbal words. So words or works fall into many different categories. One of those would be classified then as verbal works. If you're putting this down, another one would be what we would classify as ritual works. A lot of people are of the opinion that by some type of ritual, that they are bringing glory and honor to God. And that by doing that, within itself, that would bring about an acceptance on God's part in relationship to our either success in life or even in relationship to salvation. I pause for a few moments now to insert, because I want you to see something that is so fantastic and great. Salvation is a gift to be received. Salvation is a gift from God to be received by mankind. Men, women, boys, and girls have the responsibility of fulfilling God's plan in relationship to the subject of salvation. The scripture says, not by works of righteousness, which we've done. We realize that this is an emphasis upon the fact that salvation is a gift from God. A gift is to be received, not to be worked for. And so we have an emphasis here upon the fact that sometimes in the realm of redemption or in the realm of salvation, people are of the opinion that it takes individuals' efforts or works to bring about a completed salvation or a completed redemption. Some people are of the opinion that you will not be saved and go to heaven unless you've been baptized. Some people are of the opinion that you have to be, the Old Testament said, circumcised. We'll deal with circumcision at a later time, but there are various aspects related to what people feel is necessary to add to salvation, such as church membership or baptism or good works or any of these things. And they conclude that God needs some help in this area to bring about a completed transaction of salvation. We've already emphasized the fact that the verb in the perfect tense emphasizes a completed transaction. When we find in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved. Now, do I need to repeat all that I've said in the past? I will do it just for a moment to let you see that scripture in Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you've been saved in the past. It was consummated in the past. The result of that consummation continues to this very present moment. You have it, and it continues on and on and on and on. In other words, it is a completed transaction. Perfect tense verb emphasizes a completed transaction. So we don't have to come on the scene now in the energy of the flesh and try to add something to making it possible for God to have what we would classify as a completed transaction of salvation by adding either church membership or baptism or any of these things. So there would be classified then as ritual works. Now let me see, have I said this correctly? I want you to see that we've emphasized the fact that there are different kinds of works. The first one I mentioned is verbal works, pleading, begging, promising. Those are verbal works. I trust you're putting this down and will remember it. The second one is ritual works. Some of the opinion that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. You will not go to heaven unless you've been baptized. In other words, they're saying in essence that the water that's in the baptistry is absolutely essential to bring about a completed salvation. And we know that the scripture says in Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and that baptism is a dry baptism. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that regenerates the person who believes. The third one that we mention on the screen now is psychological works. This is classified as doing something for God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that last Wednesday night, we emphasized very briefly the book of James. We gave you a quick summary. We could have given you a lot more information, but we gave you a quick summary of that magnificent book of James that deals with faith and works. If you didn't hear it, I trust you'll go back and find that information on the internet and take those notes down, because they're abbreviated, but they emphasize the fact of faith and works, faith real and faith false. So we have that information given to you last Wednesday night. Psychological works, doing something for God. Number four is what we classify as church works. Now, there are many things that the scripture says in relationship to our obedience. Faith without works is dead, and so forth and so on. But we understand that there's a difference between trying to be saved by works or accepting God's provision, which is so magnificent and wonderful. I tried to remember a moment ago that when I started the emphasis on the fact that there are two major areas where people mess up, I believe, in trying to add human efforts or human activity or works of the flesh to either salvation on the one hand or the Christian life on the other hand. Now, we'll get into this more in detail later, but I wanted you to see that there's a danger of seeking to add anything to salvation which is not in accordance with the plan of God at all. And on the other hand, there are various individuals who choose to go a weak way trying to accomplish the Christian life in the energies of the flesh. In other words, they're actually saying you're saved by grace, but then you're kept by works. And we know better than that, and that's the reason why we're emphasizing different types of works here, psychological works or church works. For instance, tithing, teaching, deacon, I thought that was kind of an interesting way to put it, and that simply means, or preaching. So a person is not a preacher, and he's not saved because he's a preacher. He's saved because he's saved. And then when God calls him to preach, he preaches, and that's wonderful. So church works, tithing, teaching, deacon, preaching. Number five, what we call religious works. What we have here in our Ephesian passage, and we're going to see it more clearly when we get into verse 11, which is on Wednesday night. What we discover is that the Jews emphasize circumcision made with hands. And the scripture talks about circumcision not made with hands. And we're not going to get too deep into this, but the subject is a magnificent subject indeed. And many of the Jews looked upon the Gentiles as individuals who were not right with God because they had not observed various types of rituals. And so we have to understand that there are religious works, and those emphasized by the Old Testament Jews keeping the law. Number six is behavior improvement. Behavior improvement. Changing lifestyle. There are people who have said to me, in essence, I can't be saved until I'm able to give up something. And they name different things that there are, which would be classified for them as a problem. And they said, when I can get to where I can give up this or that or the other, then I will talk to you more about salvation. So there's an emphasis upon changing the lifestyle. That's works. And so also people say, you know what, we're coming up to the new year and I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to make some new year resolutions. There are all kinds of works. Have you noticed that we've tried to emphasize the fact that there are verbal works, ritual works, psychological works, church works, religion works, behavior improvement works. Then we have number 7, which is emotional works. Some people are of the opinion that they're not going to make any decision for God related to salvation until they are convinced that their commitment will be such that they within themselves can continue a proper relationship to God. Now that is an emotional commitment. If I get to a point where I can isolate myself from various sins, some of the things that I realize I've been doing as an unsaved person, I've been doing, and when I get to the point where I know that I can give up this or give up this or give up this, then I will make the decision to accept God's plan of salvation. I can isolate myself from certain things that I'm doing that I realize is not a proper way for the believer. So you see, I'm using the word isolation here. And all of us are fully aware of the fact, because we understand salvation. We understand what God has done. And this is the reason why this was so heavy on my mind. As I was driving to church today, the best way, the only way to understand God's plan, and the only way to understand God's design, is to know what the Bible says. It's not to go on my feelings. It's not to be determined by what I'm thinking. It's to be determined by what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I'm the way. So we have to come to the conclusion that it is not some emotional work or commitment, or saying I can isolate myself from these wrongdoings. And when I come to the point where I believe that I'm strong enough that I can get rid of this, that, and the other, then, yes, preacher, I'll talk to you about salvation. There's another works that we have listed here, and this one is a major factor in our day. It's in the field of emotionalism. Ecstatics. This is a terrible thing that's going on in many, many churches, in many lives of individuals today. And they're depending upon their emotions. They're depending upon ecstatics. They're depending upon what's taking place in their emotional experiences of life to determine whether or not they're right with God. Now, let's go back and take a look at our verse. I want you to see, and I have it on the screen again. Notice, if you will, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that word boast, as I've already mentioned today, is a verb in the subjunctive mood. Now, preacher, why are you doing this to us? I want you to see that the word lest means anyone, and the little word that is used here is, that's a rough breathing mark, that's H-I-N-A, hina, and it is to be translated, in order that. Some people in their lifestyle, in their thinking, going through all these various facets that I've just mentioned to you, the various works, they have come to the conclusion, in order that this, or in order that. In other words, all these various things I mentioned, they've come to the conclusion that in the energies of the flesh, whenever they get to a point where they believe that they can do what's right, then they will accept God's plan. This says, lest anyone, and then we have with the word in the subjunctive mood. And let's look at this word. A unique word indeed. It is K-A-U-C-H-A-O-M-A-I. Now, I need to tell you that when I look at a word in the Greek, And I see a suffix, an "oh my" suffix, which we see right here. It already tells me some things. And I am able to conclude when I look at this that it is a verb that is presented to us oftentimes in what you would classify as an emphasis upon something in the past, but is actually in reality something that's taking place at the present moment. So it's an emphasis upon what is taking place and now in my life, lest anyone, in order that anyone should boast. Now let's go back and look at the verb again. Let's look at it like this. It says, not of works, not out from the source of works, in order that, or lest, and here comes this negative may. Can I tell you how exciting I am about this? I tell you all the time, and then I have to come back and explain to you why I'm excited about it. Do you remember at the first of the service today, I said to you that there are three major negative adverbs. Did I say that? Do you remember it? I said it. I think I said it. If I didn't say it today, I said it last Wednesday night. If I didn't say it last Wednesday night, I said it last Sunday. Because I have let you understand that I have analyzed this over and over and over again, and I see the importance of it. The reason why I share with you the importance is because I want you to be able to identify with me that I am seeing, and now all of us are seeing together, the importance of this particular negative adverb. Now, this is simply saying, not out of works. The redemption plan is not out from the source of works. It is a perfect tense verb. It emphasizes a completed action, a completed transaction. God doesn't need our help. Notice now, God doesn't need our help in the area of salvation, but we're going to get into this more in detail before this day is over, and that is, God doesn't really need our help in the Christian life. If we think that by our efforts and our works and our ingenuity and our deeds that we can live the Christian life, we have another thought coming. Living the Christian life is a human impossibility. Let me say that again. Living the Christian life is a human impossibility. There's no way that you and I can live the Christian life. Just as we cannot save ourselves, we cannot live within our own energy, within our own strength. We cannot live the Christian life. That's the reason why the next verse says that God pre-designed the production. Are you hearing me? Wow. I'm telling you, there are things going on in our house, and I'm sure you're aware of the fact that many things are going on in our house. But I tell you what, it's wonderful for me to be able to slip away and get into these verses and allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to captivate my mind, and for me then to jump up and go out and talk to Joyce and tell her about what I'm seeing. Just like now, I'm trying to tell you what I'm seeing. The production has been prefabbed, pre-designed for the Christian life. Now, we're going to get into that in the next session, and we'll be there in a little while. But I want you to see that this is saying we don't have anything about which to boast. God's plan of redemption is a completed transaction. Not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Did I tell you that there were three strong negative adverbs? Yes. Here's one of those. Did I ever tell you that there is a fourth negative adverb that is not as strong? Yes, I've told you that. and you picked up on it, and you remember it, and now I'm proud of you because I can brag on you and show you that right here it is. It's M-E, may. And that is the negative adverb that is not like the three negative adverbs that we've seen in the past. Ook. This is may, which is the negative adverb that is going to go along with a verb in the subjunctive mood. Because the subjunctive mood is the mood of potentiality. Now, if you're listening carefully, you're seeing something. This word is a point of time, aorist tense, and it's a middle voice. May shows us that this particular verb is in the middle voice, which emphasizes potentiality, which emphasizes the fact that it is possible for believers to boast. We shouldn't be boasting, but we can boast. And that's the reason why many people are boasting in relationship to all of those works that I mentioned at the beginning of the message today. People who fall into the category of being understanding themselves with the ability to function, they believe in a superior manner to please God, then they can boast in the energies of the flesh, but the boasting is in vain. Not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Aorist tense, middle voice, subjunctive mood. You and I must know that there can be divine production or human production. We'll see this in the next verse. The Greek word agathos is the word for good, and it means good that's done while the person is cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit. That's not human good, that's vertical good. What I want you to be able to see is there are many of us, oftentimes, who move into this realm of this subjunctive mood of boasting because we are so egotistical, braggadocious, and proud of what we are doing. And we move into that negative of boasting about our activities and our deeds. And when we are doing that, we find ourselves not in harmony, not in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it amounts to horizontal, human good, not divine, vertical good. Quickly, let me give you this. Human good is human production. And it's identified in the book of James as dead works. Now, I had already listed the scripture and marked it where I could go read it, but time will not allow this, but I want to give you the verses. Human good is identified as dead works in James 2:26 and James 2:20. Number two, this human good, which is good while a person is not in harmony with the Lord. It is horizontal, human good. It is good being done in the energies of the flesh. So number two, human good then is never acceptable to God. And when you go to Isaiah 64:6, it's described as filthy rags in God's sight, which says God is displeased when we perform horizontal human good. You might want to write Isaiah 64:6 down. I'm not going into any detail to explaining that verse, but I want you to see that on the screen I have some words that describe it. Human good, filthy, God is displeased when we perform human good. Number three, in 2 Timothy 1:9, human good has no place in relationship to God's grace. Human good has no place in relationship to God's grace. Number four, human good, energies of the flesh, will save no one. What I try to do at the beginning of this message is to name some categories of works, energies of the flesh. Human good will save no one. That's the reason why when you go to Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Salvation cannot come to us as a result of anything that we can do for ourselves. Number six, human good is the basis of the unbeliever's judgment. I will not go now and read these verses. I would encourage you to write Revelation 20, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Many times over the past years, I've read for you these verses. I want you to be able to see that in these verses, it emphasizes the fact that unsaved individuals will die and go to a place of eternal destruction. And it is not because of their sins. It is because of what they've depended upon for salvation, which was their deeds, their works. And deeds and works will never get anyone into the magnificent home of glory. That passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 20, 12, 13, 14, 15, powerful verses indeed that lets us know that a person doesn't go to a place of eternal destruction because their sins were not bought and paid for. They were bought and paid for. But individuals refuse to accept that gift. And then number seven in the last one, human good and morality must be distinguished. In the laws of divine establishment, we have volition, choice, marriage, nationalism. We are aware of the fact that God's plan for mankind, lost and saved, is morality. Morality is designed both for unsaved and saved. So my number seven, human good and morality, must be distinguished. We must be able to see the difference. Romans chapter 13, 4 and 5. Morality is under God's plan in relationship to the laws of divine establishment. I need to tell you that our time for the break will be brief, but I will let you know that when we come back to our next verse, it's going to be one of the most exciting verses you've ever seen. And I trust that you'll come in here with anticipation as we look at Ephesians 2:10. May we pray together, please. The last moments of this service are so important because they're designed for those who are listening to this voice today who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Salvation is not by works. It is by accepting the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the reason why the Bible says, if you have the Son, that means if you have the Son of God, you have life. If you do not have that Son, you do not have life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, unique Son, to go to the cross and die for your sins. And right there where you are at this very moment, if you will simply ask Him to be your Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. I promise you, upon the authority of God's Word, if you'll do that, He will do exactly what He said He would do. He will save you if you'll trust Him now. Father, thank You for Your magnificent grace. In Jesus' name, amen.